Milan?
Yeah. When you're done, throw my chest.
That. Okay.
Great.
Yeah, I'm so proud of this.
It's recorded?
Yeah.
I am here.
Okay. The story of the sin of Adam and Chava, it's world famous. We probably heard it when we were little kids. It's one of the central motifs of Western culture, of Christian culture. You go to any European museum, half the paintings are all about Adam and Eve biting from the apple, the snakes curled up there in the tree. It's a very, very powerful story. And it's referred to in literature. It's very clearly something that's in our consciousness. The question is, what does it mean? What was the sin? Why did God command them not to eat from the tree? Why did Chava fall prey to the Nachash's, the snakes, arguments to try to get her to eat from the tree? And what's it about? Why is it significant for us? What implications does it have for human nature? Did you all get to the story in your learning creation decision this week? Yeah, you got to it? Okay. Let's quickly go through the story, and I'm going to ask some basic questions. And by answering these questions, we're going to get to some very, very deep understandings of what's going on with the chait. Okay. Okay, so let's just start with the very end of Perek Bet. You guys have your kumash open? Perek Bet, very, very end. So God creates the gun, he puts Adam in it, he tells Adam not to eat from the Eitz HaDaat Tov V'Ra. We'll get back to that later on. And then he realizes that Adam, Lo Tov Hayot Adam Levado, it's not good that Adam is alone, and he creates an Ezer Kenegdo, a helpmate for him, Chava. And when they first meet, it's love at first sight, it's a wonderful romance story, they fall in love, etc. The parak concludes, okay, and it's important to note who divided the prakim in our chumashim? Christians, right? Christians divided the chumashim to prakim, so we can ignore the parak break right now. Okay, we're going to read from one pasuk to the next, ignore that gimel there, okay? So we have Chafdalet, Alkein Yazov Ish and Aviv and Imo, Bedavak Yishno, Vayul Basar Echad. Therefore, because of this incredible love between a man and a woman, therefore men abandon their parents, whatever that means, and they stick to their wives. Next pasuk, Chafei, Biyushnehem Arumim. What does that mean?
They're naked.
They're both naked. Right? They're both naked. God created them without clothing. They're both naked. Hadam Yishno. The lo yitbo shashu. What does that mean?
They weren't embarrassed.
Right? They were naked, but not embarrassed. Okay? Same with an animal's not embarrassed of its nakedness. The hanachash haya arum mikol chayat hasadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim. What does that mean? Oh, excellent. We have a translation. It's good. Right, we have translations right next to the Hebrew. The Nachash was slyer, more cunning than all the other animals that God had created. Okay, I can imagine that, right? Snakes, strike,
gravity.
Okay, so the same exact word that a minute ago we just translated as nakedness, so now we're translating as cunning. What? Why did the translations not translate it in a literal sense? It could be fine. There is a concept of armumiyut. There is a concept of armumiyut meaning cunningness, but God used the same word one pasuk after the other. There's got to be some connection here. So maybe it means that Adam and Chava were both cunning and they weren't embarrassed of that. Maybe it should go the other way. Or is it possible that the snake was nakeder than all their animals? Okay. My point is that God, when he chooses the words he uses to describe something, he chooses that on purpose. And if the same word appears one pasuk after the other, so there's got to be a connection. We're going to come back and we'll find a very, very deep connection between these two words. Cunningness and nakedness. Okay? Think in the back of your mind as we go on what the connection could be. Okay. Let's go on a little bit further. So the Benachash Yeah Rumbit we call Khadasida. He says to the woman, what God told you not to eat from all the trees in the entire garden? We can eat from all the trees in the garden. The tree in the middle of the garden, Amar Elohim, lo tochlu menu velo tigubo pen temutun. Don't eat from the tree, don't touch it, lest you die. At this stage, from Chava's perspective, why should you not eat from the tree? No. Huh?
You're going to die.
You're going to die. It's poisonous. Right? Whether it's literally physical poison, or whether God says there'll be some sort of spiritual consequence that'll lead you to die, right? Why don't I touch it? It's going to kill me. From that perspective, why did God tell her not to eat from the tree?
Well, wasn't it
okay, why did God tell humans not to eat from the tree? Right, in other words, he has their best interest in mind, right? You eat from the tree, you're going to die. So it's like a big, you know, skull and crossbone warning on the can of Raid, you know, don't allow children to drink this, right? So that's what it is. God's saying, there's one tree in the middle of the garden, and if you eat from it, you're going to die. Stay away from it. You're not going to die. God knows that if you eat from the tree, you're going to be just like Him. Be just like God. That's why He told you not to eat from it. From the Nachash's perspective, why does God tell Adam and Chava not to eat from the tree? What's his... Sir?
Scared that...
Okay, he's afraid. There's a certain kind of self-interest involved, right? He's concerned. He doesn't want Adam and Chava to be up on his level. Okay? Who's correct? Chava or the Nachash? Chava says, B'yomach ochav menu mot smutun, the day you eat from the tree, you will die. Does that occur?
Yeah.
No, it does not occur. They do not die that day. Okay? Is the Nachash correct? Is God concerned about them becoming Kelohim?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. He is. As a matter of fact, if you look at the aftermath of the Chet, he says, if you look at Per Gimel Pasuk Chav Bet, Vayomer Hashem Elohim, Hein Adam Haya Ke'achad Mimenu, man has become like one of us. V'adat Tovara. V'ata Pen Yishlach Yadov L'kach Gam Eitz HaChayim V'achal V'chay Le'olam V'yishlachehu Hashem Elokim Yigan Eden La'avodet Adama. Right, the God, after the Chet, he's concerned. Wow, Adam and Chava are like me. And in order to prevent them from eating from the Eitz HaChayim, which would give them eternal life, he sends them out of the garden. So is God concerned about the potential of them becoming like Him? Yes. So what did the Nachash do wrong? You're just telling the truth. And what's going on with God? Yeah. It seems so.
So by eating from the house, they will die as opposed to not die.
Okay. So I think you're 100% correct that God certainly was not lying. It was true that when they ate from the eighth of that, it brought death into the world. But the phraseology, the way Chava understood it was instant result, right? You drink poison, you die immediately. Her understanding was you're going to drop dead, right? It could be that God packaged that way to create a certain kind of fear in them. In other words, otherwise, you know, if you tell someone if you smoke a cigarette now, you're gonna die in 50 years. So it's not nearly as impressive as if you smoke the cigarette, you're gonna die right now, right? So it could be that God packaged it in a more severe way. But you're right. But still, there seems to be another story going on beneath the surface. So what's that other story? Finally, when God escorts Adam and Chava out of the Gan, He gives them a present. I'm sorry, wait, before we get there, going back, let's look at the aftermath of this sin. Pasuk Vav. She sees that the fruit is very attractive, very beautiful. She takes from the fruit and she eats it. And then she also gives to her husband. Their eyes are open and they realize that they're naked. So this Arum concept comes up again. You realize they're naked? And the immediate response to the sin is they cover themselves with clothing. What changed? What about eating from the Eitz HaDaat suddenly makes them embarrassed about being naked in front of each other? What's the connection? Right? They've been naked in front of each other this entire time. Suddenly they're embarrassed. Right? Why is their first response to cover themselves with these alei te'ina? And there's a further act of hiding. They hear the voice of God moving through the God, and their immediate response is, let's hide. Right? There's a sense of needing to hide yourself. First, you hide yourself with clothing. You hide yourself among the trees of the garden. What's going on here? Why do they feel this need to hide? What are they hiding? So God calls out to them, and he confronts them with proof of their sin. God decides they have to be banished from the garden. And as they leave, God gives them a special gift. What's the gift? Kotnot or. Clothing made of skin. Okay. That's interesting. They already have clothing on, right? They already made for themselves loincloths made of fig leaves, and now he gives them kotnot or a kotenet is certainly a larger kind of clothing. It's like a cloak. Cloaks made of skin. What's interesting about that?
Is it like leather?
Okay. Okay, so that's one opinion we'll get there in a second. But what's interesting about that?
They already had skin.
So they already had skin, okay.
They're covering
the skin with skin. With what? Skin. Right. It's ironic that humans are the only animals that clothe themselves. They have to create an artificial layer of skin over their own skin. What's the purpose here? Why is God giving them this? Is he concerned that the AC is going to be on too high and make it cold? Like, why does he give them this this gift as they leave the garden? Okay.
Now they can feel pain.
What do you mean they can feel pain?
Like, they would get hurt, so he would give them
extra. So it's like a motorcycle jacket. It's like extra padding.
Yeah.
Football uniform with shoulder pads. Okay.
Also, like, leaves can wear out.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Who remembers what Rashi says here? Okay, Rashi says that this kotenet or this cloak of skin was not a leather jacket. It was something that grew from their bodies. Right? It was like an extra layer of clothing that grew from their bodies. Why does Rashi say that? Why does Rashi say that it was a leather jacket? What's motivating Rashi?
What
pasuk? Give all pasuk chaval. What can't? Yeah, go ahead.
Now they don't feel like if God would just give them a jacket, they would feel like, oh, that's going to. God's still near us and God's going to still protect us, but he wants to show them that there's like, now after they said there's like a more barrier and that he's just going
to
like...
So whatever they have has to be self-sufficient as they come from their body. That's interesting. Another issue is that up until this point, we don't see any animals being killed. Where's he going to get the skin from? Right? In other words, animals can only be used for human purposes after Noah, after the Mabel. So it could be that Rashi and some of the Midrashim are trying to avoid the implications that God is killing animals for human use. Well, okay. I want to focus on a different interpretation of what the Kotlot or were. So let me hand this out now. This is quoted from the Chizkuni quotes a fascinating passage from the Pirkei of Eliezer, an early Agadic work. Okay, let's read the second makor. Very short, but sometimes the shortest comments can pack the biggest explosives in them. V'yas Hashem Elokim l'adam u'lishto kotnot or v'yal b'shem. Rabbi Eli Omer, min ha'or shehivshit hanachash lakach HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asa lehem kotnot or v'yal b'shem. What's he saying? What from the snake? Where do you get this from?
Snake shed.
Whereas the skin that the snake stripped off of itself. Right? Snakes constantly are molting and shedding their skin. Right? Sometimes you'll see like a whole snake skin lying there on the side of the road. Right? From the skin that the snake shed of itself, God created clothing and dressed Adam and Chava. It's interesting. Okay. What does that mean? What? It seems a little bit ironic, and whereas the very source of their downfall becomes their source of clothing. It's interesting. Right? But there's got to be something more to it. What else could this mean? So I want to suggest that this midrash answers our question about the word arum. Going back to the pasuk about arum. Right? The end of Perek Bet, beginning of Perek Gimel. Right? Again. You guys have it? That they were both naked, Adam and his wife, and they were not embarrassed. And the snake was more naked than any other animal in the field. Based on this midrash, what is the pasuk saying? Huh? And therefore what? Okay, the only animal that is constantly undressing is the snake. And the word that the midrash uses to describe shedding, lahafshit, is the same word you use to describe undressing, taking off your clothing. Okay, so what seems to be happening here is there are two kinds of nakedness. Okay, there's the nakedness of Adam and Chava, there's the nakedness of the nachash. Adam and Chava are naked in an innocent way. The way a baby is naked. Right? Babies, up until the age of... Actually, I haven't gotten this so far. We're sitting at what? Age of 3 or 4? Until that age, there's no self-consciousness about being naked. If Yedidia could have his way, he'd run around... Actually, this summer his grandparents' backyard, he did run around naked all day. He would. He would run around naked all day. There's no self-consciousness of being naked in front of other people. Right? It's a sense of, this is who I am. This is, what's there to hide? This is who I am. There's another kind of nakedness, though. And this is the kind of nakedness of stripping off clothing. Okay? It's with an awareness that I could conceal something, right? And a willingness to reveal what is usually concealed. Okay? What's unique about the snake, though, is that the snake is in a perpetual state of undressing. In other words, the moment that one layer of skin is off, the other layer of skin begins to become too tight. And the process of shedding is underway again. In a matter of a few more weeks, that layer of skin will also come off. So it's an infinite layer of clothing, under clothing, under clothing, under clothing. I actually once did that when I was in third grade. I was like a little bit of a class clown. So I came into class wearing like 15 jackets. And like I walked in and took off one. I got kicked out of class. That's the nachash. The nachash has infinite layers of clothing, one underneath the other. What does that mean? What is clothing about? What is shame about? Why are people embarrassed when they're in front of each other? and they're naked. Is that normal? Okay, so you're saying that if people walked around naked all the time, so there'd be no shame at all. It's interesting, I think almost all human cultures, I don't know if all human cultures, but almost all human cultures have at least some clothing. Even in like tropical climates where like, there's no need for it because of the weather, there's always like a loincloth or something to cover at least the most private areas of a person's body. Like what? Like why? Why are we embarrassed? In other words, if it's just an issue of normality, so then there should be cultures where like no one covers anything. Right? But I don't, as far as I know, there's not a single human culture in the world that doesn't have some form of clothing. So it could be that shame only comes about, and this is why children, as they get older, begin to become ashamed. Shame only comes about when you're aware that it's possible to conceal what it is that you're embarrassed about. In other words, apparently in nudist colonies, apparently that level of shame disappears very, very quickly. In other words, if you're in a place where the rule is that no one wears clothing, so then it stops being an issue for you, right? It's interesting that this is a whole other issue, but it's also not so sexually arousing, which is counterintuitive. But being in a nudist colony apparently nakedness just stops being an issue. So perhaps what's going on is that until the sin, Adam and Chava aren't aware that it's possible to hide something from someone else. That what I am is what I present to the person next to me. The idea of hiding my nakedness, the idea of hiding parts of myself and revealing other parts of myself, is not in their consciousness. But what happens? The nachash represents a different kind of nakedness. Not an innocent nakedness, but a nakedness of no matter what I reveal to you, there's more that I'm not going to reveal to you. Right? Every layer of skin I take off, there's another layer of skin underneath concealing what's beneath that. And every time I strip, there's more and more layers of clothing. My clothing clothing is always delusional. Clothing is always a misrepresentation of who I am, right? You know, a person who, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry concealing who you what you really look like, right? Makeup and all kinds of girdles and all kinds of, toupees and everything about clothing is about concealing what you really look like. So the nachash is about, no matter what I show to you, there's more that I haven't shown to you. So the Nachash speaks to Chava. What do you say to Chava? He says, you think that what God revealed to you is the whole story? You think he's just being totally open and honest to you? And a lot more he hasn't revealed. God's hiding stuff from you. And the moment that Chava understands that it's possible to not tell the whole story. It's possible to reveal only the part of the story that you want the person to understand and not the part that you're embarrassed about, that you're afraid about, at that moment, shame enters the world. But she realizes that it's possible to hide. It's possible to conceal certain parts of myself. And immediately, as soon as she eats from the Eitz HaDaat, when she, through her action, shows that she trusts in Nachash's depiction of things, she's embarrassed. She's in front of her husband, he's seen her naked his entire life. Suddenly, she can't be seen in front of him naked. And the first response, we have to put on a alei teina to hide ourselves. And then, the third character in our story, God, he appears in the scene, and immediately they run to hide. Because suddenly the concept of hiding is everywhere. But if God's not revealing things to us, why should we reveal ourselves to God? So they hide. And God sees them. He sees them hiding. And what does he say to them? What does God say when he sees them hiding? So he says, Yaakov, they say to him, we heard your voice, the God, and we became afraid because we're naked, so we hid. And God's response, Mi higid lecha ki erom ata. Who told you you're naked? How do you realize? What do you mean, who told you you're naked? Of course you're naked. You're naked. You're not wearing clothing. He's saying, who told you that there's something there's something about you that you want to hide? Where did you get that idea from? Hamina eats a share tzivitiha libilti achol menu achalta. God knows immediately. They're hiding. There's been a transformation in their consciousness. They must have eaten from that today. So this idea of shame, this idea of wanting to conceal, not wanting to be open and honest and upfront with everyone you ever encounter, right, that comes from the state of sin. Right? But Cook says that that every sin a person ever does creates a distance and a hatred between himself and the world. Right? Every time you do something that you want to conceal, in order to conceal, you have to distance yourself, to separate yourself. And it's interesting. Now that Adam and Chava are in clothing, now that Adam and Chava have things about themselves they want to hide from each other, so how does Adam talk about his wife? Up until now, Adam has thought about his wife. Etzem me'atzamai, basar mi'psari, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, we're soulmates. How does Adam talk about Chava now? Haisha asher atata imadi. This woman you stuck in my midst. This sense of total alienation, total distance between him and his soulmate. Right? Suddenly, we sinned, there's a gap. Right? We have to keep our distance. We have to hide things from each other. So we see going on here is, in a sense, this is why Western culture pins all of our problems on the sin of Adam and Chava. Because what was introduced to the world through the sin of Adam and Chava is not just rebellion against God, it's part of it, but it's also cynicism. It's what's cynicism? Cynicism is a sense that, come on, can't be too good, you know, it's too good to be true, right? If they tell you something, don't believe it. The government tells you something, they're covering over their lies, they're covering over their corruption, right? If you know, people who meet Rav Machlis for the first time, oftentimes their response is, come on, there's no way this is real. Right? There's no way someone can really be like that. Right? Well, where did it come from? Why not just trust that Rav Machlis is Rav Machlis, that Rav Machlis really acts the way he does, because that's who he really is. Because in the sense that no one really reveals who they really are, right? No one really reflects their true selves. What we do, our social selves, they're all front, they're all facade, right? The government tells us a pack of lies, what the media tells us a pack of lies, what people tell us is a pack of lies. The sense of distance, of mistrust, right, that comes from the sense of shame, the sense of wanting to conceal, that is the Nachash's persona, that's his ethos, that's what he stands for. So what should we do? Should we take off our clothes right now? Undo the aftermath of the chait? Maybe we, instead of wearing a kitzel and Yom Kippur, we should walk in naked. What do you think? Should we reveal who we are? So do you think God would be the blessing of the nation? For sure not, right? God, when God takes Adam Chava out of the Gan Eden, what does he do? He gives them clothing. Apparently, after the chait, we have to wear clothing. There's no choice. You can't go back. Right? Once a three-year-old realizes that he's naked and realizes that everyone else covers over their nakedness, they can't go back. Right? Once you're aware of that, there's no way to become naive and innocent again. Right? But what clothing does God give us? God gives us the clothing which is the skin of the snake. He wants to realize that although clothing, and when I say clothing, I don't just mean physical clothing, I mean also the sense that when we talk to other people, we're not always, you know, if you walk down the street and someone says, hi, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm feeling so down. I don't know. I feel like my friends aren't really close to me anymore, and I failed a biology test. I'm like, I had a fight with my mother. Right? So people never talk to me. Right? In other words, if you tell everyone you ever meet everything that's going on in your life, right, society wouldn't function. Right? Most people that we deal with, we have guards up, we have walls up, and it's a good thing, right? You're not supposed to spill your guts to every single person you meet. Right? When you have a best friend, when you get married, you have your wife, right? With them, you reveal very, very deep and dark and intimate parts of who you are that you wouldn't reveal to most people. But in general, right, we're supposed to have a facade in our personalities. Right? So God does give Adam and Chava the Kot Not Or, but according to the Midrash, he gives them the Kot Not Or that is the skin of the Nachash. Because he wants Adam and Chava to realize that although it's a necessary evil, where it's, there is a distance between people now, there is a distance between man and God, there is this sense of shame that can never be eradicated. However, it's a necessary evil. It's not something that's ideal about the human personality, that in small, focused moments in a person's life, it can be transcended. Right? When you're with your wife and you're talking deeply, you can at least partially transcend that. On Yom Kippurim, when you stand and your consciousness is the consciousness of standing before God, totally naked, Hashem sees every aspect of who you are, right? You can transcend that clothing, at least for a few moments, and be totally open, totally honest with God about who you are, what you want to be, your regrets. Right? There are moments in a person's life you can take off that clothing. There are moments in a person's life you can transcend the Or HaNachash that we're trapped with as a result of the chet. At a certain level, that tshuva is that state. Tshuva is that state of eradicating the barriers between us and God, eradicating the barriers between us and other people. Right? To ask for mechila from another person is to reveal your deepest parts, your deepest areas of shame. Right? If you when I say mechila, I don't mean like, you know, 2 minutes before Yom Kippur just saying, you forgive me. I mean, if you do something you really regret, you really feel ashamed of, to go to that person and say, you don't know how much I regret, how many sleepless nights I've had about what I did to you. I feel incredible that if you reveal that shame, if you reveal your vulnerability, that, in a sense, is healing the sin of the Etadat Tovara. And the act of tshuva is entirely oriented in that direction. At least in small moments, here and there, with friends we've hurt, with Hashem, with our best friends, with our soulmates, right? Getting rid of that clothing, taking the clothing off, and being ourselves and reflecting ourselves in a purely honest way. So that's the story. Questions? Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many snakes were there? There's just one snake. When God created the world, did he create just one snake?
So in general, God created the animals with Zachar, Umakeva. So there probably were two snakes. What the snake was is you know, a whole discussion in itself. Was it a literal snake? Was it a vision? Was it a voice with Adam's head? Like it's not clear. But assuming it was a genuine snake, so then yeah, it came out as well.
Didn't say like God
punished
the snakes and
like
took away their feet and speech or whatever.
Yeah, unless you interpret that also as being symbolic. Maybe that God paralyzed cynicism to a certain degree. I don't know. It'd be worth developing that idea to see what that means. That like that cynicism is paralyzed. Any other questions? Yeah.
I don't understand the nakedness, how it kind of shows their embarrassment. You're saying that it's coming from them, that they understand that they can't conceal. So if they can't conceal, why do they want to conceal at the beginning? What's the essence of their embarrassment and nakedness?
From a tree.
Is it because they're different? Is it because they don't understand each other in that aspect? Or is it?
I, You're saying why would they cover certain parts of the body, not other parts of the body? Is that what you're asking, or?
What is making them embarrassed? I can't understand that. Just the fact that you can steal something, right? So it's obviously a certain part of them, which is, means it has an essence to it, but you try to conceal it.
Okay, so the sexual organs in general are emotionally charged. You know, in every culture, they're emotionally charged as like being a more private part of the body, a more personal part of the body than other parts. Until there's an awareness that you can conceal it, so whatever, like that's part of who I am. You know, it's they were open with it as much as they were with anything else. But once there's an awareness, there are certain parts of myself that I can conceal, certain parts I can reveal. So that was like the natural target of the concealment.
What creates that private? What creates a sense of I need something private? Does it matter?
What creates a sense of privacy? I think an awareness that I don't need to reveal everything to everyone. That there are deep, vulnerable parts of myself that I can choose not to reveal, that I can pretend like they don't exist. Right?
When you're related to God also, right, that he conceals these things too. So that, I don't think that relates an aspect of embarrassment, it just relates an aspect of a lack of understanding. If we can understand it, then we can see it.
So you're saying there's actually a positive component to concealment. In other words, God also conceals. God doesn't tell them the whole story. God doesn't say, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaat, Tov V'Ra, because when you eat from it, you become like me, and that'll create all kinds of complexity in the world, and all kinds of problems with free choice, and all kinds of other things. God just says, don't eat because you'll die. So you're saying that sometimes the concealment can be a very, very positive thing. In other words, that's interesting. Right. That's interesting.
Because when Rashi talks about it, he says, because they see Ben Tov the Ra. Yadav Ma Ben Tov the Ra. So which Ra? So what's bad about this?
What's bad about what?
Their needs. That they, honestly, that's why they need to conceal it. They need to conceal it because now they understand that it's bad. Why is it bad?
I'm not going that direction. I'm not saying that it's bad.
But that's what Rashi said.
I'm taking a different approach. But in terms of, I think what you're asking is actually a very interesting direction to go in. You know, why did God not tell the whole story? It could be, you know, if you tell a kid, don't drink from this bottle of rat poison because if you do, you'll die. So you tell a 3-year-old that, it means nothing. You tell him something much more simple, like, if you do, Abba will get very angry at you and you'll go to timeout and you'll lose your lollipop. Right? So that means something to him. So am I lying to him if I tell him, don't eat from the rat poison because I'll take your lollipop away? Is that a lie? No, but it's not the whole truth. Right? So it's clear that there is a value to not revealing the whole truth. That'd be an interesting direction to go in. Maybe God wants them to preserve that because... Sorry? You're saying the embarrassment that men feel being naked in front of other men?
I mean, like, yeah, man to man and woman to woman, or man to God. It seems like there's an aspect of this nakedness that's just objectively bad. There's an aspect of nakedness that's not good that you don't want to show.
Oh, the reality is that, like, if you've been to the mikveh what's it called, right next door, so on a busy Erev Shabbos, you have lots of men, you know, who, for, you know, at least do not feel a lot of shame. Perhaps they don't feel any shame at all, walking out in front of each other.
So they understood that being naked is an embarrassment, whatever. So you can't doubt in front of God, first of all, because for nowadays looking back, you can't doubt in front of God naked because of that, because of the sin that's in.
You're saying Adam and Chava before the chait could have doubted before God.
Yeah.
Adam and Chava before the chait could have doubted to God naked.
Yeah, but it was only after it's like let's say God, I know I'm saying program, but let's say nakedness is bad. Let's just say it is, and that when they ate the tzedakah, they became like God. They had this knowledge, this awareness of like you said, right from wrong, good from bad, and that it's sort of like that's the way God wants it to be, is what I say. And then when they ate it, that's where they gained the knowledge. And nowadays you can't daven naked because of it reminds us of sin. Like you said, God gave us the skin from the snake, showing us that we have to hide ourselves. You say this is the way it is now. So I'm saying like.
Yeah, it's interesting. There is an idea of dressing for tefillah, and it could be that as you've been saying, that post chet, our dignity and our ability to stand before God depends on our concealing certain aspects and revealing other aspects. Whereas even when you stand before God, you want to present a certain facet of yourself to God.
Well, so you wouldn't be able to concentrate, because now before they realized that they were naked, it would have been okay to apply down before God naked, because you'd realize and were just praying, and that's just the way it works. But now that you know that you're naked, you're always going to have in your mind that, oh, like, I'm naked.
Right, but so what? Meaning after this...
Because you're not going to be able to think, like, to God, like, I'm praying to God, like, okay, I'm praying to God, I'm thinking the words, but, like, I'm naked. And that's always going to be in the forefront of your mind.
Wow, so naked, that's very nice.
Because that's the way that you are, like.